And welcome to the very last sermon of this year. Would you please turn off your electrical devices as Kathy will be playing the prelude. Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. That was beautiful. The title of that is Any Dream Will Do. Yeah, I don't think I've heard that before. It's a new one on me. Well, tomorrow the church office will be closed, but starting on Tuesday, we'll be open again for business, and we look forward to a very vigorous and joyful 2018. The simple way to say it is Happy New Year. We have a number of announcements this morning. One is if you bought a poinsettia and would like to take it home, please feel free to do so. They're right up here. Cynthia did ask me to ask you not to take the little tin buckets that go with them. Pull the poinsettias out. Take the poinsettia home, but not the tin buckets. Also, the church is missing a new black card table. It was stored in the handicap bathroom, but has gone missing. If anybody knows where the whereabouts of that, would they please notify the church office? And there is still a need for someone to be chairman of the Spiritual Growth, or otherwise known as Worship Commission, for 2018. If anybody is interested in doing that, please contact Linda Mosteller. We ask that you do that as soon as possible, since preparations for Lent and Easter need to start in January, and the first commission meeting will be January 15th. Are there any other announcements?
Yes, Paul Smith's here. Everybody greeting.
Would Would you please pick up the little pink slips and pass it down your aisles? Please fill out those friendship notices, and we'll stand and greet one another and then sing our opening hymn, number 151, the First Noel, verses 1 and 2. Will you join me in the call to worship? Giving God, we pause and wonder at the gift of your Son.
Saving God, we face the burden of our humanity as
how our world still needs your saving, how much we still need your grace. Will you pray with me? Father, we welcome the new year with joy and gratitude. We come into your presence with praise and anticipation for the coming year. We prepare this morning with the words Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Father, your name. But deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
You may be seated. The First Noel tells the Christmas story. We have sung part of that story, and we will continue with the next three verses of the hymn on page 151. Thank you for being in worship on this holiday weekend. We will not be sharing a children's time as we don't have any children present this morning. Mackenzie is peacefully sleeping in her car seat in the nursery, and our other young ones are off with their parents. We have a list of joys and concerns on the back of the bulletin. But before we share much detail about those prayer concerns, we have a special presentation to make. And it is fitting that it happens on a Sunday like this. I once worked with a pastor who said, the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's is a cannonball Sunday. It's a rather violent image, but he said you could fire a cannon and miss people in the congregation. So I think you all get bonus points for being here on such a sparsely attended morning. But there is one person in our midst who does not surprise me at all that he is here today, and that is Larry Winders. Larry, would you come forward? I'm going to pick on you this morning, and he doesn't know this is happening. We have created a very special award to present to Larry Winders. It is the Golden Attendance Award. It is presented to Larry Winders for perfect attendance at First Christian Church in Casper for the year 2017. Now, this is a very special award. Not only has Larry been present in worship every single Sunday this year, he has been present in worship 53 Sundays in a row. Because you see, 2017 has that unique odd event. January 1st was a Sunday, And December 31st is a Sunday. So it's pretty rare that there are 53 Sundays in 1 year. But Larry, you made it here for every single one of them. Thank you for your faithfulness to the church. On our prayer list today, we give thanks for healing and recovery for both Bob Malloy and Terry Morrison. They were both in chapel this morning wearing matching boots on their feet, both recovering from foot surgery. Prayers for Darlene McIrvin, who is at Wyoming Medical Center, for Keith Rouse, who continues to struggle with his health. He had back surgery about a month ago. Following that, he ended up with a hematoma, kind of a collection of blood near that surgery site. It was impinging on a nerve and causing a great deal of pain. That hematoma was removed on Thursday. He is home again from the hospital and resting, but he needs prayers for recovery and healing. Yesterday was a painful and difficult day. After worship today, Dan and I are going to take communion both to Darlene and to the Rouse family. Prayers for Winnie Allen, who is home after a brief visit to the hospital following a fall when she broke her elbow. Cleo Glasspool received 4 stents this week to address severe heart blockage. She is in rapid recovery at Shepherd of the Valley Nursing Home. We hope she'll be returning home in about a week. Prayers of healing for her. We give thanks for Dewey Smith, who shoveled all the walks this morning, for Kevin Anderson, who helped him, and for others who have done it faithfully during the week. It is greatly appreciated, those who volunteer for snow removal. There's a sheet outside the office if you would like to volunteer. Congratulations to Tom May on being a new grandpa. On Friday, Joseph Thomas Richardson, named for grandfathers, was born 21 inches long. Baby is healthy and lives in California. Prayers of rejoicing for the May and Richardson families. We continue to pray for Billy Triplett, who is struggling with his health, for Dave Baker and others who are going through long-term cancer treatments. Our community concerns include those who are traveling for the holidays. We give thanks that Brent and Kim arrived home safely last night after blowing snow and whiteout conditions. The missionary we're lifting up is Martha Mincinnick, who serves in Japan. Prayers for the work that she does. And our regional prayer partners are the members of First Christian Church in Windsor, Colorado. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you're encouraged to sign. If you'll notice in the pew rack in front of you, there are prayer cards. Our card shower this morning is for Keith Rouse and family, but you're welcome to write a card to anyone that God places on your heart, and then put that card in the offering tray later in the service, and we will deliver it for you. Are there other joys or concerns today that we want to share, other names we need to add to our list? Then let us pray for all of these people, ourselves, and our world as we share in a time of sacred silence. O God of new beginnings, as we gather for worship on the cusp of a new year, we give thanks for the year that has passed, for those moments and days and seasons in this year, O God, when we glimpsed you, when we saw your face, when we shared in the work of your grace in the world. And Holy Lord, we pray for your blessing upon the year to come. We pray for family and friends near and dear to our hearts. We pray for the community and the country in which we live. And we pray for our world. O Holy One, as was true so long ago when Christ was born in Bethlehem, our world still needs the presence of the Prince of Peace. Holy God, we pray for those corners touched by violence, for people whose hearts are hardened by hatred or fear. We pray, Lord, that our eyes might be opened in this coming year to see you in new ways, to love you, to serve you. O God of healing and hope, we pray for those that we have named. We pray for Billy and Dave and others who live with cancer. We pray for those who struggle with mental illness, with depression, with grief, for whom holidays are sometimes hard days. Oh God, we pray for courage. We pray for physical healing, for Darlene and other patients at the hospital, for Keith and his family, for Winnie as her elbow mends, for Cleo as her heart mends. O Lord, we pray for each one who needs you. We thank you for Martha's courage in answering your call to be a missionary in Japan. And we pray for all of those, including ourselves, who hear your voice calling. Lord, may your blessing be upon First Christian Church in Windsor, Colorado. May your blessing be upon this congregation, First Christian, here in Casper, and may your blessing be upon the Church Universal, upon every band of Christians joined together in this moment in worship around the world. O Lord, may all who bear the name of Christ by calling themselves Christian also bear the face of your love in the world. May we be bringers of peace and justice, of light and hope, of grace and mercy. In your precious name we pray. Amen. This week, Charles and I enjoyed just two nights away. We were staying in Riverton and visiting the Wind River Reservation. While there, we had the opportunity to visit the campus of St. Stephen's Mission, including the Indian School and St. Stephen's Catholic Church. Charles had not been to that property before, and so we drove by so he could see where a couple years ago our congregation sent children's books to share with students at the school there. While we were there, it happened to be an hour of prayer at St. Stephen's Catholic Church, and the church was open. I had never been inside that congregation before and felt fortunate to sneak in the unlocked door and chat with a woman who was watering the poinsettias to keep them alive. I told her that I know what that's like for a church to have flowers at Christmas time that need a little tending. St. Stephen's is a beautiful church specifically constructed for its context among the Arapaho and Shoshone people. The central roof over the central nave of the sanctuary is decorated with a brightly painted Indian star in a quilt pattern. The holy water font at the back when you enter the doors is shaped like a drum with a hollow in the middle to hold water for the Catholic sacraments. At the front of the sanctuary, what for us is the communion table at St. Stephen's is shaped like a drum. The sacred drum is central to the spirituality of the Arapaho people. The beating of a drum calls people to prayer, people to dance, people to worship. It calls people to communicate with the great Creator who gives them life. It seems fitting in that context for the table to be a drum for us here. Like at St. Stephen's, the table calls us into the presence of God. It may not beat with an audible rhythm that we can hear, but like the pulse of our own hearts, the table echoes the rhythm of God's love through the ages, given for people through the presence of Christ. All who in worship this day, who long to know the love of Jesus, are welcome to share in the Lord's Supper as we partake of communion. You'll be served the bread and the cup where you are. You're invited to partake and then serve the person next to you. We'll prepare for communion together by singing the hymn, "Like a Child," on page 133. Jesus comes like a child. Jesus comes as a human baby born in the manger, born of flesh, born also fully of God. And that child grew to become a man who more fully than any before or since embodied the presence of God in our world, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, the man, holy human and holy divine, met with his friends at the Lord's table in the upper room. While they were there, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we feel and hear the heartbeat of God's love beating in our lives, calling us into relationship with him. When we share the bread and the cup, we proclaim God's love to the world. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
God, who is always with us, we come here this last Sunday of 2017, and tomorrow we begin another year to praise and to give thanks. In these moments of communion, may we resolve to live each day following you more closely. We eat this bread and drink this cup and remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. May your Holy Spirit guide us through this next year. Amen.
As we come to return a portion of our gifts to you, the Father, may we embrace joyful giving with the love and the life of Jesus in our mind. The deacons will wait upon us. Father, we ask you to bless our offering today. We also pray for your blessing of the mission of this church. Our mission is and always will be founded on the life and love of Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
baby boy would one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the great
Thank you, Charles. If you would, turn in your hymnal to page 156. The Nunc Dimittis, as it is known in Latin, the Song of Simeon, is a traditional part of worship in churches with high liturgy. In the Lutheran Church, this song or refrain is often repeated at the conclusion of communion. Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. In other traditions, the song is read as a prayer at the hour of death and also at night as believers lie down to rest. This morning, Kathy will play the refrain through once for us to hear. And then we will sing the line as indicated in the hymnal. We'll join in reading in unison the Song of Simeon, and then sing the refrain again at the end. Lord, Now let your servant in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Our reading of scripture this morning comes from the second chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. The last time we were in worship together, we heard from Luke 2 on Christmas Eve the story of the birth of Jesus, the story of the shepherds coming to Bethlehem, which concludes with the sentence, "The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." Our scripture reading this morning picks up Luke's story at that point. Luke chapter 2, verse 21 through 40. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Kathy, for playing for us today. Kathy and Lonnie will continue to fill in January for our congregation. If you know of anyone in the community who would be open to playing as a full-time accompanist for us here at First Christian, please get their contact information to Amber, as we're still looking for a full-time pianist. Will you pray with me? O Lord God, in the words of Simeon, we hear the wonder and joy of one who has seen you face to face. In this holy hour of worship, Lord, we long to see your face anew. Through the words of Scripture and your presence at the table, Lord, we long to gaze upon your presence and to open ourselves that you may look deeply into us, heart and soul. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, O God, that they may be acceptable in your sight. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child. I had debated sharing an illustration about circumcision, but thought we might have children in worship this morning, and so I was hesitant to do so. But y'all are grown up, and you know what circumcision actually is, the Jewish ritual of physically removing a small portion of the foreskin of a baby boy's anatomy in his most private and painful parts. It involves some drops of blood. The story that I would share is the story of two little boys, about age 8 or 10. They were in the hospital. They ended up in the same room together. One little boy was having his tonsils out, and they were visiting with each other. And in a scratchy voice, he said, "I'm here to get my tonsils out." And the other little boy said, "Oh, you're so lucky." He said, "I had that done. They put you asleep, they take out your tonsils, snip, snip, you don't even know it, and then you get all the ice cream you want." The little scratchy-throated boy said, "Oh, well, that's good news. Thanks for letting me know. What are you in for?" The other little boy said, "Well, Mom and Dad tell me they usually do it when you're a baby, but I'm here for circumcision." The first little boy, the tonsillectomy patient, said, "Oh, man, I am so sorry. I had that done when I was just born, and it hurt so much I couldn't walk for 2 years." So there you go, my circumcision joke. Not always appropriate for the pulpit, but this morning I hope you'll forgive me. The Jewish ritual of circumcision is prescribed specifically according to the traditions of the Hebrew faith dating all the way back to Abraham. It is a sign of covenant between God and God's people. It occurred after 8 days. It is apparent from the text today that Mary and Joseph were very faithful Jewish parents, following what was prescribed for them by the law of their faith to raise their son. After 8 days, it was time for baby Jesus to be circumcised. Chances are it actually happened in the child's home. The rabbi would come, there would be prayers said, the ritual would be completed. In this day and age, we have different rituals that happen when a child is born, even when a child is conceived. Perhaps it is a ritual, in a sense, that a woman, when she first learns she is pregnant, when it is confirmed and she is sure, she tells her husband, her partner, her spouse, the father of the child. And part of the ritual is that first it's just the two of them who know, who share that joyous, terrifying good news. They hold that secret close. And then when the time is right and they're ready for others to know, they tell their family, the future grandparents, the aunts and uncles or cousins. And then the circle broadens and their close friends learn. But part of the ritual is it may be a while before there's a public announcement that, yes, she is expecting. We're going to be parents. In some families, the ritual continues when the baby is born, whether in the hospital or with a midwife. In some families, if it's a boy, it's wrapped in a blue blanket, and if it's a girl, it's wrapped in a pink blanket. In previous generations, at least according to TV movies, part of the ritual is dad hands out cigars to co-workers, just a sign of celebration. I wonder if that holy smoke is an ancient tie back to incense being offered as a prayer for a newborn child. Does your family have a ritual around babies? A ritual of naming a new child, perhaps even bringing them to church for a public blessing and an introduction to the church family. Maybe there are other customs that unfold the child's first Christmas, their first birthday. It was apparent that Mary and Joseph were steeped in the ritual of their people, for not only did circumcision happen at 8 days, but as prescribed according to the law, when the child was 40 days old, it would have been time for the rites of purification, for the mother and for the infant as well. If a baby boy was born, it was 40 days after birth. A baby girl was 80 days after birth. So, parents and Jesus, come before the Lord at the temple in Jerusalem, and they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord. If you look back in the Old Testament and you read where the law of Moses describes this ritual, you'll hear that for a firstborn son, the sacrifice to be given is a newborn lamb and a dove. Unless the family is of limited means, and then they may present 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. So when we read the story of Jesus being presented in the temple, we're told that his parents brought a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. It was what they could afford. Jesus, who had been born in a borrowed cattle stall, belonged to parents who wanted to honor the teachings of their faith and honored them faithfully within their means. So Mary and Joseph presented their child, just over a month old, with 2 birds for an offering. As I was reading the commentators this week who discuss this offering and what it signifies, I found myself thinking, isn't it interesting that just 40 days before, when baby Jesus was born, he was surrounded by all these shepherds? I wonder, did any of them have an extra lamb they could have offered to the young family? It sounds like a great Christmas carol story. The shepherds come, they give a lamb to Mary and Joseph, and then that lamb is sacrificed when the child is presented for the purification ritual. And yet, that's not how it played out. It's interesting how detailed Luke's telling is in certain aspects. We hear that there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. This man, like Mary and Joseph, knew of all the rituals and expectations of the Hebrew faith. He knew that a Messiah was to be born to guide his people. He knew that God was to send a Savior who would be a light to the Gentiles, to those who did not even know the gift of faith yet, and would be indeed salvation for the people of Israel. Simeon had been promised through the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he saw the Messiah. That's the background of this simple story we read today. A story of a couple doing what couples did. They had a newborn, and they took their baby to the temple in Jerusalem, as so many others had. And when they walked in the door, Simeon was there. He had been prompted by the Holy Spirit to come And when he saw the child, he knew. Mary, did you know? Did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Mary may not have known, but Simeon did. When Simeon gazed on the face of that newborn child, he saw the very face of God. What wonder and joy filled his being. He sang, "Now, Lord, let your servant depart in peace, for I have seen your salvation." How strange it is that we're in the afterglow of Christmas, filled with new life, and we meet an old man filled with the Holy Spirit who's essentially praying for his own death. Simeon has been holding on as long as he can with bones that are aged and creak. He knows he could die any day now, but God promised you won't die before you see the Messiah. And that morning, it happened when he woke up, that kind of stirring feeling inside, a restlessness that he'd known before from the Holy Spirit. God was nudging him to do something. He got up and dressed and made ready for the day. He wasn't sure what the Lord expected of him, so he decided to go to the temple to pray. And it was there that he met Mary and Joseph. And what's that little bundle in their arms? He walked up to them, a stranger unknown to them, Simeon, greeting Mary and Joseph, saying, may I see your child? And Mary, the proud young mother, presenting her baby to this old, wise man, who reached out and cradled him in his arms and looked for a moment as if he was gazing into eternity. Simeon saw in those tiny infant hands the hands that would break bread and feed the multitudes. Simeon saw in those tiny baby hands the glimpse of the man whose hands would hang on a cross to save all the world. Perhaps Simeon unbundled the baby to look at those little tiny toes. We're known to do that when we hold a child. Perhaps it's instinct. We count the fingers and the toes. Is he all there? Is he okay? 10 perfect little toes wiggling on feet that Simeon knew would walk a painful road. Those feet would tread many a mile before meeting fishermen and calling them to fish for men. Simeon saw in those little tiny baby feet a glimpse of what would become the feet of the man, Jesus of Nazareth, the feet of the Son of God, feet that would be nailed to a cross and bleed and bear the weight of the world. And oh, that precious child's face. Simeon looked into those little tiny eyes, still learning to focus on the world around them, and Simeon saw God looking back. Have you ever seen the face of God? Have you ever gazed at another person and known the Holy is present in this one? Have you ever looked into someone's eyes so filled with compassion or wonder or wisdom or peace that through that person's eyes you glimpse the eyes of God? Have you ever seen God's face superimposed on the face of someone you love? Perhaps a tiny baby that you held, perhaps an elder. Perhaps someone whose face is so wrinkled with age that you know that may be how Moses or Abraham looked in their final years. That may be how Simeon looked. And in the skin of that old wise face that has survived so long, you see the story of a life well written, a life well lived, a life well loved. And for just a moment, on the face of that one you love, you glimpse the face of God. And you don't want them to leave, even though they are like Simeon, praying to depart in peace. For they have seen the goodness of God, and they know the promise that lies ahead. Have you ever seen the face of Jesus? Perhaps in a total stranger who confronted you and challenged you to think of God in a new way that made you uncomfortable, and it was only after the encounter that you realized that too was holy. Have you seen the face of God? Every Sunday I'm privileged to stand at the Lord's table and look up and see the face of God here in our midst. God's face shines through your faces, the faces of the faithful who gather at the table to break bread and to break open our hearts that God's love may be made real flesh again among us. Have you seen the face of God in the beauty of a simple sanctuary, in candles lit on Christmas Eve, in the clinking sound of coins placed in an offering tray, in the laughter of children? Have you glimpsed the presence of God in the kindness of a stranger, in one who is patient with you when you deserve it not? You realize in that moment the Holy is present. Have you seen the face of God in nature? This week, Charles and I visited Sinks Canyon State Park in Wyoming, a place where, for me, the presence of God is evident because of the glory of nature. Water trickles down the Popoji River and flows hidden underground. It makes me think of how the Holy Spirit is like a stream that is always flowing, and how I wish I could see it flow, but sometimes God goes underground. God is hidden. You still hear the gurgling. You know it's there, but you can't quite see it. According to the literature at Sinks Canyon, geologists and others have done studies of the water there. The water in Sinks Canyon goes below ground and then just a quarter mile downstream rises up again. There's a pool that is kept fresh and flowing even on the coldest winter days. This week when we were there, trout, probably 8 to 10 pounds, were swimming in the shallows. An amazing moment to just stand and watch the fish swim and the birds fly and the deer graze. And the canyon itself that funnels the wind, one side facing north, one side facing south, one side sunny and covered with grass and grazing deer, the other side deep in snow, covered with pine trees and thick undergrowth. It reminded me of the presence of God, how sometimes God is clear and wide open, and sometimes God is so full of life that it's dense and intense. Sometimes God is like a spring day, and sometimes God's Spirit buries you in snow to weight you down and make you be still. Have you seen the face of God? Have you seen the face of God in the face of nature in rugged cliffs in Wyoming? Have you seen the face of God in the people around you, in the gift of a place where others like you come to worship the Lord? How I wish I could be like Simeon or Anna and actually see the face of God. It's interesting the details that Luke gives in the story and the details he doesn't. Simeon comes to the temple, apparently for no reason anyone knows other than the Lord's Spirit guiding him. Anna goes to the temple because she's always there. She was only married for 7 years, and after her husband died, she remained at the temple serving as a prophet, descended from a tribe of prophets. She was a widow to the age of 84. I wonder why that detail is important to Luke, but not the detail of where Mary and Joseph were hanging out. Were they still in Bethlehem at this point? Were they still in the stable, or had they found room with a relative? It's interesting, the things that God wants us to know and the things that apparently we don't need to know, at least not yet. In the story of Simeon and Anna, the one thing we know without a doubt is that they saw the face of God, and it changed them. In this coming year, will you be changed by seeing God's face? Will you perhaps even look into the mirror at some point when you're thinking about New Year's resolutions or just getting up on another day in 2018? Will you glimpse in your own reflection the face of God? Will you see through your wrinkles or stubbled beard or sleepy eyes as you wash your face a smile that can bring light to someone who's living in darkness? Will you see kindness in your own eyes that comes from beyond yourself and will be shared with someone else in the coming year? When you look at your reflection, will you see somehow just a hint, just a glimmer of the presence of God that the world needs to see in the coming year through you? This year, will you see, will you be the face of God? We are each called through the lives we live, through the gifts we have, through the people God is shaping us to become. We are each called in some way to be God's face for someone who needs to see Jesus Christ in the world. We are called to tell the story of God's love and to tell it boldly. If there is anyone here who needs strength and courage for the journey ahead to tell the story of God's love, we invite you to join First Christian Church by confession of faith and baptism or transfer of membership. If you're looking for a church home, we would welcome you here. Let us stand and sing together, "Go Tell It on the Mountain," number 167. Thank you. invite you to turn in your hymnal to page 157. That is a responsive reading which will serve as our benediction today. For all who give you a face, Lord Jesus, by spreading your love in the world, we praise you. For all who give you a mouth, Lord Jesus, by defending the weak and the oppressed, we praise you. For all who give you a heart, Lord Jesus, by preferring the poor to the rich, the weak to the strong, we praise you. For all who reveal you simply by what they are, Lord Jesus, because they reflect your beauty in their lives, we praise you. You who are the God of a thousand faces, yet whom nothing can reveal completely except the face of the child of Bethlehem, we pray to you. Continue in our lives the mystery of Christmas. Let your Son become flesh in us, so that we may be for all our brothers and sisters the revelation of your love. Amen.